The next big project for the DMR in urban concrete road construction was the Botany Foreshore Road project in 1978. A road was needed on reclaimed beach sands to service a new container terminal port on Botany Bay. The Foreshore Road is notable because it became the first jointed reinforced concrete pavement to be placed using a slip-form paver. Steve Worrell was then a young engineer with the DMR.
The Foreshore Road was a bit over 3 kilometres long from the Botany Road junction back to General Holmes Drive, and the reclamation would have gone of the order of, I think, about 100 metres from the old shoreline. It was quite a complex project. It extended at the western end from General Holmes Drive, where there was a grade-separated interchange to be built. From there it went about 3 kilometres long over the top of the reclaimed sand to a junction with Botany Road, which had to be reconstructed. From there it went further east down to Bunurong Road. Now, within that section between Botany Road and Bunurong Road, we had two bridges to be built, one over a railway line and another over a creek. And within that area, there were four separate areas of reinforced earth embankment to be built. Underneath, there were caustic soda lines, 24-inch water lines, some aviation fuel lines, major telecommunications cables, as well as 132,000-volt underground power lines, which had to be put into an overhead location off the project site before we could commence.
Pat Kenny is an engineer with the RTA who was also involved with the Foreshore Road project.
I'd arrived about the time they just finished doing the trials, and being sand, there really was only one effective way to compact it, which was flooding and compaction while it was flooded. And we just, this process, once we had it defined and recognised the procedure, worked very well.
One of the first activities that we did after surveying the centre line and setting out levels for the new road was to roughly shape it with a bulldozer to approximately the right grade line along the centre line. We then formed up what we called bunded areas, which is areas of flat sand around about 80 to 100 metres long, with a wall built out of the sand around the perimeter of each of these bunded areas. The wall would have been of the order of half a metre high. And what we did then was to pump water out of Botany Bay into the bunded area and waited until we had water actually lying on the surface to a depth of the order of 150 to 200 millimetres. We then got an old D9 dozer towing a 96T smooth drum vibrating roller up and down through the water within the bunded area for a set number of passes to achieve the densification of the reclaimed sand and to ensure that we had a sound base to build the road on after that.
How did the public take to the idea of a new road being built? Were there any environmental protests or anything like that?
There was one day where we had a small bulldozer down on the beach just starting to shift around some sand, and we had a few people lie down in front of it to try to prevent work. There was quite a lot of community concern about the dredging taking place in Botany Bay, but it was largely to do with the vast amount of sand needed for the Port Botany works, rather than being specifically targeted at Foreshore Road as an individual construction project.
The next decision to be made by the DMR was the choice of paver to be used on the project. A particularly impressive paver had already been used by the New South Wales Railways in the construction of the Zigzag Tunnel at Lithgow. John Watkins Wilson accompanied that paver from the UK to Australia.
The machine we brought out, we actually manufactured ourselves. It was a single lane machine. From memory, probably it had a lane about 4 metres wide. It's a two-track machine, guided by a piano wire on each side. It's got a level sensor on each corner and a steering mechanism on one side. The difference between that slab and a lot of slabs laid now is that was a reinforced slab, a continuously reinforced, where most of the concrete pavements these days are majority of a plain concrete. So where normally with a slip form paver, one of the advantages, particularly if it's plain concrete, you can reverse a vehicle straight in front of the paver and tip concrete in. Once there's reinforcement in the way, you can't do that. So we had to side feed the concrete. at that time, because we weren't geared up concrete mixer wise, it was fed from a standard ready mix concrete plant. So the concrete was fed from agitators onto a small conveyor, which fed the thing sideways. But even then, we were still probably getting production probably over a linear meter per minute, which as an average is pretty good even today.
There were a few teething problems in the early days, particularly from the drivers of the concrete agitators delivering concrete to the site, because they weren't used to low slump concrete.
I think the sub base, for my recollection, went down in October 1978. First pour, absolute disastrous day as I remember. I think there were four runs, like in four lanes up and down, and the quality of concrete increased from the first to the fourth, and by the fourth lane, typical of jobs like that, they had it down to a fine art, and it looked very successful.
It's a very thin pavement compared to what we build today, but an exceptional pavement. One only has to stop on the side of the road and inspect it, and can see very little distress to the pavement.
The location of the road was actually over what was previously water, and what was of concern to some people was the amount of steel in this road right by the sea. In fact, we're in the old bay, it's all reclaimed there. In our design procedure, the normal crack opening we would allow was 0.3 of a millimetre. By the seas, like in this Port Botany case, that was further reduced to 0.2. Two repairs that were proven necessary afforded us the opportunities to open up the road, which I was quite anxious to do because all the controversy that preceded it, and have a bit of a peekaboo at the condition of the steel, which was found to be in mint condition, fortunately. So all the pre-existing fears relating to potential corrosion of the steel were expelled.
It really was an excellent opportunity to be challenged in the engineering sense and to overcome those challenges and to create a really good team out on site. I think from the DMR RTA's perspective, it was a good project in that it demonstrated the viability of concrete paving, and things have really gone ahead in leaps and bounds from there.